This is lesson 6 of 10 ways to empower the people you lead. In this lesson, the key to enduring power. I've spent a good chunk of my career as a trainer serving leaders in large companies and as an instructor for graduate leadership courses and university programs. And eventually, in almost every course on leadership, the topic of power comes up. And it's fascinating the examples I've heard over the years when I ask people to talk about their experiences with power. When people are asked to talk about power, they often give examples of others who are in usually high-level positions and have used deception, force, scheming, untrustworthy activities, and all other kinds of negative tactics in order to get their way in the organization. And that is often the classical way to think about power. But there was something that never quite sat right with me about the fact that we have this negative connotation most of the time about this word power. And actually, it turns out that that's kind of an outdated way to look at power. Real power is viewed by researchers today as much more strategic than this and far more profound. And a key voice in the field looking at power is Dacher Keltner, who appeared on episode 254. Dacher is a professor of psychology at the University of California, Berkeley, and the founder and director of a very cool project, the Greater Good Science Center. He advised Pixar on their blockbuster movie Inside Out, which Bonnie and I loved, by the way. And he's the author of the book The Power Paradox, How We Gain and Lose Influence. And when I talked to him about power, he defined it as your capacity to alter the states of other people. Turns out that power isn't what you take from others. Power is something others give to you. But how is the key question? Here's his answer.
Well, you know, it's so striking. I was reading the biography, a biography of Abraham Lincoln, and Thurlow Weed, who is this journalist of Lincoln's era, was just awestruck at Lincoln's political genius, how, you know, rated by historians as our greatest president. And, you know, they're mulling over, like, what's his defining quality? And Thurlow Weed said that Lincoln's political genius, his genius for power, was that he sees all who come to see him, and he hears all of what they have to say. So Lincoln was this, he had this incredible capacity for empathy, for understanding others, for engaging in other people's thinking and their ideas about the United States. And when I encountered that quote, I started to look at the science that we were doing here, you know, and then other people were doing in organizations and in schoolyards and families. And, you know, this ability, Dave, just to stay focused on other people, to listen really carefully and intently, to sort of think about what they're thinking about, to respond contingently upon what they're doing, that turns out to be, if you're to think of one thing that'll allow you to have good power and enduring power, that is it, right? And then the studies are really remarkable. There's a study, one of my favorites comes out of MIT, of Woolley and Malone, and what they do is they get graduate students working on really hard quantitative problems, right? Solving them together, like a lot of your listeners do at work, right? Just tough problems that you have to solve as a team. And if the members of that team were just a little bit more empathetic, right? They listened carefully, they asked good questions, they nodded their head when someone spoke, they oriented their body toward the person speaking, the collective intelligence on quantitative problems rose of that group. And that finding really typifies a lot of findings in the literature that if you can just stay interested in other people and know where their minds are, you will rise in power in schools and in families and in workplaces, and you'll keep your power. People will respect you. The paradox is this, which is that, you know, you rise in power by sharing. You know, a lot of studies show when you share, you gain power. You rise in power by expressing gratitude. You rise in power and earn the respect of other people. When you're really empathetic, when you show that you understand where they're coming from, but then once we feel powerful and we feel above others and then we feel the surges of power, like, wow, I'm in charge of things here. Look at me, how great I am. we lose a little bit of those skills that got us power in the first place. We started to do studies in our lab showing that if you randomly put somebody in a position of power and you get them to think like, hey, you're a little bit better than other people around you, they're about 15% worse than comparison conditions in judging people's emotions in their facial expressions, right? Mm. They lose a little bit of their edge. Even more dramatically, Keely Muscatel did this amazing work. She was part of my lab as well. If I feel that I'm powerful and I'm from a position of privilege, and I'm asked to think about another student in my university, if I don't feel powerful, the empathy networks in my frontal lobes are activated. They're thinking, they're working hard to imagine what the other person's thinking or feeling. If I feel powerful and better than other people, those empathy networks are silent, right? So this is one of the real challenges of leadership, is to really avoid this empathy deficit and to really stay intently focused on other people.
So what's your next action? Do what Dale Carnegie said almost 100 years ago in his best-selling book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Carnegie said, try honestly to see things from the other person's point of view. Such a powerful principle. And if you will take the time today to truly listen, to see something from the other person's perspective, that's real empathy. You'll begin to grow a foundation for enduring influence and power in your relationship with others. Thanks for listening, and see you for the next lesson.